I have no relationships to disclose. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge the New York City Macroscope team and former team members and consultants and our funders. With EHR uptake exceeding 80% nationally, data from the electronic health records offer great promise for expanding the coverage, scope, and granularity of population health surveillance. But little is known about how EHR surveillance indicators should be defined or interpreted. The New York City Macroscope Project was developed to demonstrate whether EHR data could be used to produce valid population-based prevalence estimates in New York City and to disseminate the information that we learned in doing so to other jurisdictions. Today, I will be describing our work to develop and validate the New York City Macroscope. Some of you may have also had the opportunity on Monday morning to learn about the community of practice that we've been developing in collaboration with Academy Health. If you're interested in joining the Population Health Community of Practice, otherwise known as PopCop, you will find more information on the Academy Health website. The New York City Macroscope Validation Study was developed to answer two main research questions. First, to assess the construct validity of our indicators, we asked, are prevalence estimates produced from EHR data comparable to estimates from well-established surveys? Final results from that work will be presented here today. To assess criterion-related validity, we also asked, within individuals, are health status classifications assigned by the EHR algorithm comparable to classifications based on survey data? We have preliminary findings from that part of the study that I will also share with you today. We compared age-adjusted population-based prevalence estimates from New York City Macroscope to estimates from the New York City Health and Nutrition Examination Survey and the New York City Community Health Survey. Survey estimates were restricted to the population that has seen a doctor in the past year, and New York City Macroscope data were weighted to the age, sex, and neighborhood poverty distribution of this in-care population. Excuse me. New York City Macroscope data were obtained from the Health Department's Hub Population Health Network. The Hub is a network of practices that use eClinicalWorks EHR software and have signed business associate agreements to share data with the Health Department. Data exchange is primarily used to support customized, data-driven clinical quality improvement work, but also offers huge potential for population health surveillance. Data exchange occurs using a distributed data model. SQL queries requesting counts of patients who meet specific characteristics are sent to all practices. The practices run the queries and then transmit the count data back to the health department. All computations occur behind the firewall and no personally identifying information is exchanged. Each cell of a table requires a separate query. Our most basic two-level indicator, stratified by sex, age group, and neighborhood poverty, is built with 48 queries. Hub practices are distributed throughout New York City and serve between 6% and 37% of the population in each neighborhood. The Hub has high penetration in most age brackets, but men under 40 are underrepresented. The New York City Macroscope was designed to produce population-level estimates for 13 outcomes across 7 domains, stratified into 24 groups defined by sex, age group, and neighborhood poverty level. Today, I will focus on smoking prevalence and hypertension prevalence treatment and control. We spent a lot of time thinking about how to compare New York City Macroscope estimates to estimates from our reference surveys. We started with the assessment of difference approach that you're all familiar with. We recently added the two one-sided test of equivalence, or TOEST, which is the statistical test required by the FDA to demonstrate that generic drugs are not inferior to their brand name counterparts. In the TOEST framework, two measures are statistically equivalent if the difference between the measures, plus or minus the 90% confidence interval for the difference, are fully contained within a predetermined margin. The predetermined margin is user-defined. To select our margin, we consulted the literature, but much of that pertains to continuous outcomes and was not particularly helpful. We consulted with colleagues who recommended a margin of plus or minus 5 points. Later in today's session, Kathleen Tatum will describe the methodological work that we did to confirm the appropriateness of a 5-point margin for most population-based prevalence estimates. In addition to t-tests and TOAST, we also set criteria for absolute and relative differences. To assess internal consistency, we computed estimates for 6 strata defined by the joint distribution of age, group, and sex, and assessed their linearity using Spearman correlation coefficients and scatter plots. In addition to the a priori criteria that you see in the chart, we also generated empirical benchmark criteria by comparing CHS and New York City Haynes estimates to each other whenever comparable measures were available. When these benchmark comparisons did not meet a priori criteria, the metrics generated by the comparisons provided less conservative thresholds for evaluating goodness of fit. Of the 1,135 New York City Haynes participants who had seen a doctor in the past year, 55 had visited a hub provider and provided copies of their hub records to the health department for analysis. Data from this small sample of 55 records were abstracted and analyzed in conjunction with data from New York City Haynes. To quantify criterion-related validity, New York City macroscope indicator classifications were evaluated against New York City Haynes classifications with regard to percent agreement, kappa, sensitivity, specificity, and positive and negative predictive value. I should note that the chart review findings presented here are specific to New York City macroscope indicators employed in the New York City macroscope system. We have a second chart review study based on a sample of about 250 New York City Haynes participants that look at the criterion-related validity of New York City macroscope indicator definitions applied to data from other EHR systems. We hope to present those data next year. The New York City macroscope point estimate for smoking prevalence fell between the CHS and New York City Haynes point estimates and within the 95% confidence intervals for each. The New York City Haynes estimate was larger than the CHS estimate, which is consistent with our experience in 2004 and with findings from New York City Haynes. Looking at our benchmark comparison in the lower table, we can see that the CHS estimate did not meet 2 of our a priori criteria for fit with New York City Haynes. So for the smoking measure, goodness of fit was measured against both the a priori criteria as well against the empirical TOAST p-value and prevalence ratio. The New York City macroscope estimate met all a priori fit criteria, so in this case, the empirical benchmark criteria were not relevant. However, we have found empirical benchmarks to be very helpful when evaluating the New York City macroscope estimates of obesity prevalence, which also fell between the 2 survey estimates, but did not consistently meet a priori criteria for goodness of fit against New York City Haynes. I personally find scatterplot analysis to be particularly informative. If the New York City macroscope and New York City Haynes estimates were identical, they would fall along the red identity line. Points fall above the line if the New York City macroscope estimate is higher and below the line if the New York City macroscope estimate is lower than the New York City Haynes estimate. In this case, we see very good linearity of the data. Smoking data were available in 50 of the 55 records in our chart review study sample and were perfectly concordant with data obtained from the New York City Haynes interview. Hypertension prevalence, based on New York City macroscope diagnosis or survey self-report, demonstrated very good fit across all criteria. Criterion-related validity of hypertension diagnosis was excellent, with sensitivity of 0.94 and specificity of 1.0 in the full sample of 55 records. When we augmented the hypertension prevalence indicator definition to include measured blood pressure and prescription medication data, we found that the New York City macroscope estimate increased by 6.9 points and the New York City Haynes estimate increased by 7.6 points. The augmented New York City macroscope measure was 0.8 points lower than the augmented New York City Haynes measure and met all criteria for goodness of fit. We also found very consistent results across strata. In our sample of 55 medical charts, we found good sensitivity and high specificity. With regard to hypertension treatment, the New York City Macroscope estimate was significantly higher than the New York City Haines estimate based on all four metrics. Sensitivity in a sample of 17 records was 0.93, but specificity was only 0.50. We hypothesize that differences in the observed estimates may be attributable to some combination of recall bias among New York City Haines participants, EHR workflows that automatically pull forward medications prescribed at previous visits, and higher rates of prescribing among hub providers. It appears that the treatment differential is largely among adults ages 20 to 39, but you should note that all but one of the New York City Haines data points are statistically unreliable. Looking at hypertension control, we also see that New York City Macroscope estimates were considerably higher than New York City Haines estimates. This is counterintuitive because for some patients, the blood pressure reading to measure control is the same as the one that triggered the recording of a diagnosis in the record. We expected New York City Macroscope estimates to be slightly lower than New York City Haines estimates because of this temporal issue. We hypothesize that the higher New York City Macroscope estimates may have been attributable to bias at the provider level. PCIP has devoted a lot, and the health department has devoted a lot of effort to supporting practices in the management of chronic conditions, and these data may simply have reflected the outcome of that hard work. The scatter plot on the left confirms that the elevated levels of control among the treated in New York City Macroscope data are universal across all strata. The data for control among all diagnosed patients, which you see on the right, including those treated with diet and exercise, also shows high levels of control relative to New York City Haines in adults ages 40 and older, but lower relative control among adults under 40. Chart view data from 13 and 16 records indicated substantial measurement error in both indicators, with sensitivities of 0.57 and 0.60, and specificity in both cases of 0.50. In conclusion, measures of smoking and hypertension prevalence performed well and are ready to implement. Measures of hypertension treatment and control require further evaluation to understand the impact of recall bias, temporal differences in indicator definitions, EHR workflows that automatically carry prescriptions forward, and differences in provider behavior. Our experience demonstrates the need for continued rigorous evaluation of new measures, and that chart review studies are critically important to inform indicator development, evaluate indicator performance at the individual level, and help interpret findings from population-level comparisons. For more information about the New York City Macroscope, you can email newyorkcitymacroscope@health.nyc.gov. Thank you for your attention. So we used two approaches. The a priori approach was that we consulted the literature and had discussions among ourselves and with colleagues about what we considered to be the a priori criteria. For example, the t-test needed a p-value of less than 0.05, similarly with the TOAST. The prevalence ratio, we decided that it had to fall within 0.85 to 1.15. And for the Spearman correlation, I believe we chose 0.8. So those were the criteria that we set out and said, okay, it needs to meet these thresholds. But then we said, wait a minute, New York City Haines and CHS use the exact same question sometimes or slightly different measurement approaches to the same construct, and the data or the prevalence estimates are frequently used interchangeably. So for smoking, for example, it's the exact same question, it's self-report in both cases, so the mode of delivery is the same, the question's the same, and so we thought, let's see how well these two measures, one in a telephone survey and one in a household-based survey, fit. And similar with obesity, in Haines, it's measured, and in CHS, it's self-report over the phone. And so previous studies have shown that in self-report surveys, people underreport their weight and overreport their height. And so if the public health community accepts both a CHS or a BRFSS estimate of obesity as well as a Haines estimate of obesity, we wanted to know how much wiggle room do we have? If it doesn't meet the 0.05, how much wiggle room would we have? And so that's why we compared both, you know, the Haines to the CHS to say, well, wait a minute, we don't have to stick with 0.05. That's our first top-level criteria, but now we have a secondary, more relaxed criteria that we can use to say it may not meet our gold standard, but it's better or equal to what is in the field right now. Other questions?
No? Okay, I'm next speaker. Thank you very much.